O Lord Christ, our Savior dear, be thou ever near us. Grant us now a glad new year. Amen, Jesus, hear us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word that I've chosen for our special meditation on this New Year's Eve is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, reading in verse 12 through 14, the following words. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, dearly beloved hearers of his most wonderful word. As we look back on the year 2013, each of us, according to the new man of faith within him, will humbly confess to God with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Genesis 32:10. For in spite of our many sins and shortcomings by which we have transgressed his holy law and earned for ourselves his righteous wrath and displeasure, God in his great mercy, for Jesus our Savior's sake, never failed to open his gracious hand to us anew every morning with innumerable blessings, both temporal and spiritual. And yet, because of our sinful flesh, even we, who are his adopted children by faith in his Son, as we specially considered just this last Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas, we returned him evil for good. We returned him neglect for his faithfulness and indifference for his grace. We returned him ingratitude for his bountiful goodness. And as we now review that miserable track record of ours on this last day of 2013, we penitently thank God that where our sin abounded, his grace to us much more abounded. So that as we cling alone to Jesus' perfect righteousness, his perfect merits as our substitute before God, we have the Lord's assurance even now that our sins have been forgiven and that all of our filthiness is covered by the perfect righteousness of our Savior. Thanks indeed be to God for his unspeakable gift. Moreover, as we look ahead to the new year before us, the love of Christ constrains us, with the help of his Holy Spirit, to want to amend our lives, our sinful lives, and out of gratitude for his grace, to live ever better unto him which died for us and rose again. This good and earnest purpose, this sincere desire on our part is not what worldly people regard as New Year's resolutions. For the best-intentioned resolutions of unbelievers are doomed to failure from the outset. Why? Because they that are in the flesh cannot please God, Romans 8, verse 8. And without faith, it is not just unlikely, but impossible to please him, Hebrews 11, 6. Not only is there immediate future here in this world headed for disappointment, for tragedy, for regret, and even for despair, but their real long-term future after this present life is over will be one of everlasting shame and regret and contempt and torture in the punishment of hell. Now, for us Christians, however, even short-term resolves have their place, provided that they express the earnest intention, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, to bring forth fruits meet for, fitted for, repentance in our lives. As the fruit, as the product of, and as the evidence of our faith to the glory of God's grace. For even such short-term resolutions stem from our first and foremost concern, namely our eternal welfare. And in the text before us this evening, the Apostle Paul addresses that long-term concern and the resolve that flows from it, not only at the turn of the year, but every day of our lives. Namely, our Christian resolve to strive onward to our heavenly goal. We carry out this earnest resolve, in the words of our text, by forgetting those things which are behind and by reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul writes in the first verse of our text, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Even this apostle of the Lord Jesus, with his heroic faith, with his self-sacrificing life under the direst of persecutions, and his diligent service of love both to his Lord and Savior and to his fellow Christians here in this world, even the Apostle Paul had to confess that he had neither yet laid hold on the ultimate prize of his Christian faith, nor was he at all perfect in his life of sanctification. And who is there of us who would be so bold as to claim that our life of sanctification equals that, or perhaps even surpasses that, which by the grace of God the Apostle Paul achieved in his life as Jesus' apostle? No, we recognize with Paul that our sins of the past have held us back like weighted shoes in our race for the heavenly prize that awaits us. Our sins of commission, whereby we have done that which our God in his holy law forbids, and our sins of omission, which are perhaps even more frequent, namely those things which we have neglected to do, which God in his law requires of us. All of these manifold transgressions are the product of our old sinful flesh, which clings to us like an albatross and wars against our new man of faith, seeking to bring him down. Thus Paul says of himself in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Furthermore, our progress in sanctification of life, our steady headway in the race that is set before us, has been severely hurt and hampered by lack of growth in the past. Just as a marathon runner here in this world nourishes his body with wholesome food and exercises it regularly to tone it up for the rigors of competition, so we Christians are to take care to nourish and to exercise our souls for the spiritual race that is set before us each and every day, and for our ongoing battle against the devil, against the world, and against our own sinful flesh, all of which seek to destroy us and to rob us of our prize. Yet with Paul, we freely admit that our spiritual conditioning program has been far from perfect, that we are far from being ideally fit for survival in the life and death struggle in which we find ourselves as Christians. For we have not permitted the Lord's word to dwell in us as richly as we should have. We have often relegated it to some secondary position on our list of life's priorities, finding here and there that we have other things to do of a more pressing nature than to meditate upon God's word day and night. We have not grown as we could have in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Peter exhorts us to do. And so, in our Christian life and conduct here in this world, we see weaknesses and gaps and scars which prevent us from walking in the Spirit as we should, which prevent us from bringing forth abundantly the fruit that we should be producing, as we heard in the gospel lesson read before, and from letting our light of faith shine before men as we should, as beacons to the glory of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Not as though I were already perfect, says Paul in our text. There is almost nothing quite as damaging in athletic competition as overconfidence, or as in the case of our Christian race, self-confidence and pride. And yet our flesh just loves to vaunt itself and to ascribe to itself strength of faith. Don't worry about me, Pastor. I'm a strong Christian. Steadfastness, as Peter once declared, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Knowledge. I don't have to attend special midweek Lenten services. I know all that stuff already, whatever that means. And even perfection. And so we desperately need to hear the warning voice of our spiritual coach as he urges us along the sidelines on this race that is set before us. The Lord Jesus himself. through his apostle, saying, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And Paul writes to the Galatians chapter 6, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now all these things that in the past have hindered our growth in sanctification have held us back like weighted shoes in our Christian race for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our many sins and shortcomings, first of all, our lack of spiritual growth, and our fleshly overconfidence in our personal steadfastness, all of these things, Paul says in our text, we are now to forget. How can we do that, my dearly beloved hearers? Knowing how seriously we stand in the way of our own adherence or apprehension of that prize, how can we simply forget those things? Well, God in heaven, for Jesus' sake, has already forgotten them. He has already forgiven them and cast them into the depths of the sea. The Lord has put all of our sins behind his back and has forgotten them, for he assures us through the prophet Jeremiah, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And the Apostle Paul, as the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit, urges us to do likewise, pointing us to his own example. For he writes in our text, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, that is, laid hold on the prize. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, may God, by his Holy Spirit, enable us, because of his perfect forgiveness of all of our sins of the past, to put them behind us by sincere repentance. Surely not just sweeping them under the rug, so to speak, as if they were no big deal in the first place, but throwing them off as useless dead weight which we abhor and which we want to be rid of, so that we can continue our Christian race unhindered. That's the first thing. Now the apostle points out in our text that merely forgetting those things which are behind, the sins of the past, is not sufficient for the attainment of the prize. We ought ever to be reaching forth unto those things which are before, he tells us. I follow after, he writes, if that, or so that, I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That word apprehend simply means to grab hold of something, as when a criminal is apprehended by the police. As we run our Christian race, so that we may one day lay our hands on the prize of salvation, for which purpose the Lord Jesus laid his precious hands on us and snatched us out of the very jaws of death, out of the jaws of that old wolf Satan, we are to follow after. That is, we are compelled by his great love in true faith to follow Jesus' steps on the road to heaven. Now, as we noted before, we can never achieve perfection in this endeavor, even though the Lord requires it of us, saying, be ye therefore perfect. But that is certainly no excuse for falling short of the mark. On the contrary, we are to follow after, as does a little child who tags along behind his father walking through snowdrifts. His little feet on his short little legs simply cannot match his father's stride. And he often stumbles and falls. But if he is not to be left behind, he must, as his father picks him up again and sets him aright on the path, he must follow in the steps of his dear daddy, his Abba, to fit his little boots into the tracks or the footprints ahead of him. For even hereunto were ye called, writes Peter in his first epistle, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And that following after is no easy task, brethren. It takes fervent, zealous effort on the Christian's part, by God's enabling grace alone, to take up our crosses, whatever they may be, however many they may be, and follow our Lord Jesus Christ on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to achieve real progress, real forward steps in sanctification. As you therefore reach forth, as you therefore stretch forward as one in a race as he nears the finish line, never forget, my dearly beloved hearers, who it is that enables you so to run. For the Bible tells you it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Make it therefore your constant prayer that the Lord grant you a rich measure of his grace, that you continue your race without faltering, reaching forth unto those things which are before, those promised blessings which still lie ahead for you as a Christian, as an adopted son and daughter of God for Jesus' sake, not becoming weary in well-doing, but rather abounding more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment based on his precious word alone, and abounding also in love and in good works toward your Lord, toward his precious church, and toward one another. For in due season, writes the apostle, we shall reap if we faint not. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Paul says in our text. We must sprint onward, unrelenting, toward the finish line that is even before our very eyes. For the prize has already been held out before us, having been purchased and won for us, not with money, not with gold or silver, but with Christ's holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, purchased and won for us by our champion, our hero, and our faithful coach, as it were. Earthly runners press on to obtain a corruptible crown, Paul writes to the Corinthians, a mere wreath or garland of olive leaves, which was considered sufficient crown of victory in those days to a runner in a race. But that victor's wreath soon dried up and crumbled away, leaving only a memory of the victory that was won. But our prize laid up for us in the heavens is incorruptible. A crown of glory that fadeth not away, Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 5. And even though we must follow after, press toward the mark, reach forth unto those things which are before, which with conscious effort and zealous work, nevertheless, unlike earthly prizes which are earned in competition, that crown of life is a reward of God's pure grace in Christ Jesus, which we merely apprehend or lay hold on by faith in our Savior. Boasting and pride are excluded when we finally overcome and obtain, lay hold on, apprehend the victory, as Luther describes it in the concluding words of his explanation of the sixth petition. For our victory is really Christ's victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. And the Lord Jesus himself, speaking through the Apostle John in the book of his revelation to John, adds concerning our own sharing of his glory as the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. What a prize. What a goal, beloved of the Lord. There can be no higher reward than the undeserved reward of God's grace. This is the glorious future that awaits us by God's wondrous grace in Christ Jesus. Not a future of uncertainty and doubt, not a future of misgivings and failure and despair, such as the children of this world have to face each and every day of their lives, in spite of all of their so-called New Year's resolutions to the contrary. And as we now get a fresh start, as it were, in our race as Christians, spurred on by the exhortations of God's holy word, let us remember what our resolve as Christians is: to strive onward to our heavenly goal by forgetting those things which are behind and by reaching forth unto those things which are before. Yea, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, the writer to the Hebrews encourages us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May he graciously grant to each and every one of us such happy, yes, such unspeakably joyful anticipation of his abiding spiritual blessings, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy which endureth forever in and through his Son, our precious Savior Jesus Christ, so that by confidence in his merits alone we may apprehend, we may lay hold on the priceless prize of His grace, both in the new year, now soon upon us, and in eternity forever in heaven. All for Jesus' sake. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.